Tome, episode 6, holiday wish list. This is The Tome, a D&D game book review podcast. Episode 6, Holiday Wishlist. In this episode, I'm going to do things a little bit different. Instead of one in-depth review, I will instead list the books I think everyone should own and explain why I think that they should own it. I will also share a few similar reviews from some listeners, and I might also throw in a short list of books that I would probably avoid. As always, I welcome listener participation in the show, guest reviews, feedback, or comments on my reviews. Those are all awesome. You can contact me at thetomeshow@gmail.com or leave a comment on the site at http://thetome.podbean.com. Speaking of listener participation, let's look at some listener emails. This one is from Jeffrey Wynn. I like your show so far. Product reviews are always useful, especially when there are so many products being put out between WotC and third parties. Some comments. When you're reading mail on the show, it's not necessary to give the person's last name. John from Chicago is usually all that's required. It seems to be standard practice for a radio show. It cuts down on the chance that you might mispronounce someone's name, and it protects people's privacy. I don't think reviewing individual issues of Dragon is useful for very many people. People don't generally debate too much over buying a $7 magazine off the shelf. You might instead try reviewing the magazine as a whole. Take a look at what's been in the magazine in the past year to help people decide whether or not they want to subscribe. You could definitely highlight the core beliefs and Demonomicon articles, as these are currently the most successful articles in the magazine. The ecology articles are also pretty popular. You could also try reviewing Dungeon Magazine the same way. They just finished their Age of Worms adventure path, so you might take a look at that specific aspect of the magazine in one episode. I think you mentioned that the article on Weegis would not be useful to anyone not playing in Greyhawk. I think that's incorrect. Greyhawk is the core setting of D&D, and Weegis is a core deity from the Player's Handbook. The core deities are the default pantheon for any DM who doesn't want to bother creating his own. Even if you're not playing in Greyhawk, you can still use Weegis as she is. And even if your campaign world doesn't have a Weegis, she's still a very interesting character, and she might inspire you to create an original but similar deity. You said that Eberron would be good for beginner D&D players. That's a bit debatable. Eberron differs sharply in rules and flavor from standard D&D. It's not the world described in the core books. It has a very different feel. You've got things like action points and dragon marks and dragon shards. You've got four new races and one new class that aren't in the player's handbook. Adventures are supposed to contain action and suspense and intrigue above the simple go to this dungeon, kill that thing, get this treasure quests. Some people might not have trouble handling all this new stuff at once. But for others, it might be like trying to run before you can walk. Lastly, I had some problems with the last episode, episode 5. The audio kept skipping, cutting out bits of the review. I couldn't listen to the whole thing. It was so bad. See if you can fix that. Signed by Jeffrey Wynn. To respond to some of the things that Jeffrey mentions in this, first of all, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate this message. He talked about maybe cutting the names down and just giving first names and that kind of thing, like they often do on radio shows, which is fine by me. I honestly don't particularly care one way or the other. I usually try to go with however the person signs or puts their name on the email. I figure if they wanted to be called something else, they would say so, or they would sign the email differently. So generally speaking, I'm going to assume that people want me to give the name that they give me. So that's just sort of my thoughts on that. But if people disagree, let me know, and I can change that. That's not a big deal. I'm not married to it one way or the other. He also mentioned that maybe instead of reviewing each individual article or individual issue of Dragon magazine, maybe just look at the whole thing as a whole once a year. And maybe doing the same thing with Dungeon. That would be fine. The thing about that is that he then goes on and talks about certain things that maybe I should highlight, which tells me there's some value in looking at what's in the magazine. Plus, I have gotten some feedback from people that enjoy the Dragon issue reviews. The numbers on those tend to run a little bit lower than the others, and that's okay, because honestly, that wouldn't mean, if I stopped doing the Dragon reviews, that wouldn't mean that you would then have 2 book reviews a month. What that would mean is that you would only end up getting 1 episode from me every month. It's a lot faster putting together a review for Dragon magazine than it is putting together a review for a normal book. So that's why I always do Dragon magazine, because that way I can get 2 episodes out every month, just to sort of keep people getting some new content if they want to listen to that, and I do get some people that are interested in that. Now, maybe doing an overall look at Dragon once a year, or an overall look at Dungeon once a year, might be an interesting thing to do, and I might seriously consider doing that in addition to doing the individual issue reviews. Now, if the numbers do completely drop off on people listening to the Dragon reviews, then I'll stop doing them. That's fine. Again, I don't entirely think that I have to do them. I'm not married to the idea of doing them. If people don't want them, then I won't do them, and that's fine. But as long as I continue to get feedback from people that they enjoy them, and I still do have some listeners on them, then I might as well do them, just so you can get a second episode in every month. He also, on his comments about Weegis, he's correct. I completely spaced on the fact that Weegis is a core deity from the Player's Handbook. So if you are playing a generic setting, you're not playing one of the specific settings in the world, or in Dungeons & Dragons that have been created, then sure, yeah, you can get some use out of Weegis. It does specifically reference, though, the article specifically referenced Greyhawk events, Greyhawk people, Greyhawk locations, Greyhawk history. And so I felt that the article would be much more useful for somebody who is playing in Greyhawk. Sure. Anything that you read, you can get inspiration from and use. That's the whole reason that I read Dragon magazine. I don't pull a lot of the stuff out of it, and I'll talk about that later. But the number one reason I read Dragon magazine as a whole is in order to get that inspiration concept. And so, yeah, anything you read anywhere can be inspiration for your game. And then lastly, he talked about Eberron. I mentioned that it might be good for beginning players. He mentions that maybe not. And having read his comments, I have to, in a lot of ways, really, really agree. The reason I said that was because there's not decades of history going into this setting. It's still a fairly new, fresh setting. So if somebody wanted to jump on and not feel overwhelmed by the massive history and background that this setting has in the real world, then that's sort of an easy jumping on point for Eberron. As opposed to, say, a Greyhawk or a Forgotten Realms, which has decades of real life time of development and history and culture and all these things that have sort of been very complexly thrown together. But rules-wise, he's right. Eberron is a more complex system if you look at the rules. Greyhawk is probably the simplest system if you look at the rules, because it's probably the closest to the core rules. Forgotten Realms is pretty darn close and has that high fantasy feel that you expect from D&D. But yeah, in a lot of ways, what he's saying is absolutely correct. The last thing he mentioned was that there were some problems with Episode 5, the latest Dragon magazine review. I realized that after I got his email. I got another one right after that, and I happened to get those right when I turned on my computer that morning, and I realized it was just a quick editing mistake. I went through and I tried to fix it real fast so I could get a second post of that, or a second posting of that up, so hopefully not a ton of people ended up getting the bad copy and more people picked up the second version, which didn't have a lot of those editing issues. And I'm sorry about that. It was a simple little thing, and I just didn't take the time to double check all of those little things before I put it up. So sorry about that, and I'll try to keep an eye on it in the future. Next up is from Patrick Glick. Good morning. I'm listening to episode 5, and I wanted to give you a heads up. The podcast was very choppy for some reason, many cutouts. Also, for a suggestion, for a suggestion. My group often argues over rules. Perhaps a section on your podcast dedicated to rules and interpretation. Well, that's all for now, Patrick Glick. And then he goes on and says that he's not much for message boards, but maybe if he finds the time, he'll give it a try. And message boards, I don't care whether or not you guys want to use it or not. If you do, I'll keep it around. If you don't, I'll get rid of it. It's no big deal. I want to make this show as useful to you guys as possible and provide the resources that you want in order to do this. As for having, and I mentioned that what happened with episode five, and so hopefully I've addressed that. And his suggestion of going over rules, I suppose if people send me questions, I'd be willing to give it a shot. I'm not what I would consider necessarily a rules expert. I can't quote things right out of the books off the top of my head. I spend a lot of time looking things up to make sure that I'm doing things correctly. But, you know, if people have questions, I'd be willing to give it a shot. Or if there's somebody else out there who does consider themselves a rules expert and would like to add a segment to the show where they answer rules questions, that would be awesome. Then we can even get a little bit more participation in there, and we can add that little segment into the show. Thanks, Patrick. This one's from Trent Baird. He says, as much as I look forward to the Ravenloft show, I'm even more excited for the new show. You gave me such a glowing review of Dragon number 349, which I may go try to track down at my local geek store, that I went and got Dragon number 350, which I thought was pretty good. I really like the section on Ouija's. If my current character dies, I'm definitely making a monk who follows her. Anyway, I was really excited to see the topic for the holiday show. I'm a beginner, and I don't really know what I should look for. I'm glad that you are going to be discussing what I should track down. Thanks. I'm glad that he enjoyed the Dragon review. My review of 350 was actually a little less glowing, I think, than 349 was. I really enjoyed some parts of 349. 350 was a little less for me specifically, but that's simply because it didn't suit my specific needs as much as 349 did. And hopefully the holiday show here does not disappoint. Thank you, Trent. This one is from Sean Richards Coon. Jeff, love what you're doing. It is well and truly time for gaming media. I did radio in college, morning show, nothing special, and I have been gaming since the early 80s. I would love to do a guest review and notice that the Ravenloft stuff keeps kind of falling back. I'm also here in Iowa and get to mayhem now and then, but I'm down here in Ottumwa. I asked the gaming store here if they would loan me a copy to review it, and the chances look good, if you're interested, that is. I run a game on Wednesdays at my youth center down here, and your podcasts have helped me stay up on things that, frankly, I don't have time or subscriptions to do. Between a full-time job, a nonprofit on the side, and kids, gaming has been on the back burner for too long. Keep up the good work, and if you're itching for constructive criticism, I'd be happy to help. Thanks for that, Sean. Sean mentions that he's also in Iowa. I used to live in Iowa. I went to college in Iowa. I grew up in Iowa. I now actually live in Omaha, Nebraska. So I'm not actually in Iowa anymore. But I am very familiar with what he's talking about there. And he mentions that he goes to Mayhem. That's the old the comic shop that I used to go to. And I still get my comics and games from them through mail order. As far as looking to do a guest review for Ravenloft, that would be awesome. I would love to hear other people's thoughts on anything that I have done or anything that I'm going to do, or guest reviews to come out at the same time, just so that the listeners can get the perspective of more than one person. That would be incredible. So if you're willing to do that and they're willing to lend you a book, that's even better. Go ahead and jump on that. Anybody else that wants to do that, I'd love to hear from you. As far as constructive criticism, it's always welcome. I'm always looking for anything and any information I can get to make the show better for you guys. And that's it for listener emails. I had another email from somebody who did a review for the wish list, and I'm going to read that later on. Now, for the wish list. First on my list is Dragon Magazine. Easily the best value in D&D resources around. I like to use them for inspiration, more than for new rules and that kind of stuff, just because it's not convenient to haul around a whole bunch of magazines. But they do hit such a broad range of topics and have writers that are both new and proven that you kind of get a fresh perspective right next to a professional point of view. If you get a subscription, it's an even better value. So if you're looking for inspiration, or even some new rules if you're not as picky about lugging stuff around as I am, Dragon Magazine, easily top of my list. Number two, Hordes of the Abyss. I did a review on Hordes of the Abyss earlier, so if you want more specifics, more details, you can look at that issue or that episode of the show. But as a DM who loves the planes and those who dwell on them, I loved this book. There are some small issues I had with it, but all in all, this book was a huge inspiration for a new game that I'm now running that involves all sorts of planar concepts, not just the demons that were presented in this book. I've taken some of the ideas that they gave me about demons, and I've used them on all kinds of outsiders and all kinds of planar creatures and all kinds of other concepts. The third one on my list is the Eberron campaign setting. This is not only potentially a very rich campaign setting with a lot of potential to produce some great stories, and honestly, I wish I had more time to dedicate to gaming so I could explore this world more. But you also get some good rules, races, feats, items, that kind of stuff, not to mention just some neat ideas that come up in the book that you can easily steal and take to any other game. You can take action points or the Warforged race or all that, all kinds of wonderful things that they created and presented in the Eberron campaign setting that would be so easy to integrate into other things. The fourth on my list is the Forgotten Realms campaign setting. There's no other setting I would rather play in than the Forgotten Realms. I love high fantasy as a genre, and there's no other setting out there that has this great mix of history, culture, NPCs, stories, and peoples that to make it that rich. It might take some time to truly be an aficionado because it has such a long history, and that's made it fairly complex. But there is no time to start like now. Some other day, I may have to do an all Forgotten Realms special episode, just because I really love Forgotten Realms. Which brings us right into number five. Because the one fallback of the Forgotten Realms campaign setting is that it is a third edition, not a 3.5. So if you're going to get the Forgotten Realms campaign setting, I would suggest adding the Player's Guide to Faerun, because it updates a lot of the rules and a lot of the things that came up in the FRCS, the Forgotten Realms campaign setting, and updates them to 3.5, while leaving all of the world content from the FRCS intact. Doesn't mess with any of those. Adds some great new spells, some new races, some new feats. Great way to update your Forgotten Realms setting. And then also I would suggest, my sixth suggestion is Faiths and Pantheons. For some more great information on the unique gods in the realms, and to add a lot more flavor to your game, this is a great book. It has tons of great details about all of the Realmsian gods and cosmology. If you're looking for new rules, feats, spells, or prestige classes, then you will be disappointed with this book. But if you're playing in Toril, the planet that Forgotten Realms is on, and the gods play any role, this book is awesome. For just the sheer volume of useful information presented. I don't make a PC in the Forgotten Realms anymore without looking at this book first. Seventh on my list is Savage Species. This book was a tough pick because it's not a 3.5 book either. It's actually a third edition book. But back when this book came out, it absolutely changed every single game I played in when it came out. And this book is all about how to play monsters as PCs. And the best part that it presents is the monster class concept. So you don't have to play a high-level game to play all the really cool and powerful creatures. You can play a powerful creature that happens to be second level and just doesn't have all those powers yet, and they develop it over time as they gain levels. Eighth on my list is the Expanded Psionics Handbook. I love psionics. I've always liked it, but in 3.5, with this book, they really got it right. For once, it's very well balanced and doesn't have a lot of the bulky extra rules that the previous versions of psionics had. It's just a new sort of magic, especially if you use the Psionics Are Transparent variant. Ninth on my list is Races of Stone. I almost went with one of the other races of books, but most of the races are pretty deeply entwined with the setting that they're in. And so a lot of the races of books become a little bit unneeded, redundant, or just plain wrong for the setting that you decide to play them in. But in most settings, stone races, like dwarves come to mind, those races are pretty similar. The setting tends to fit them in rather than recreating them. in most cases when I look at dwarves in all kinds of campaign settings. And so this book won out of a From the Races series because it seems to be the most useful no matter what setting you're playing in. Several races are detailed here. A new race is detailed here. There's feats, classes, all that kind of stuff. Good, it's a good book to look at. And number 10 on my list is actually not a book. It's the Hypertext D20 SRD. Okay, so it's not a book, but it is official content. If you do any gaming on or around an internet connection, this is awesome. All of the SRD materials, all of those standard shared materials, like all the, a lot of those core books and the Psionic books information, is listed on this site. It's searchable, it's hyperlinked, and it's absolutely complete. I game a lot through the internet, and this site is visited daily by me. I use this site every single day. So never have to memorize another rule. Just visit http://www.d20srd.org. And now is the time that I'd like to read the listener review by Jeffrey Winnigan, which is awesome. I'd love to have more reviews like this in all of my episodes. So here's the review. Hi. Well, you wanted to hear what books we think everyone should own? Well, I've got one. Dungeon Magazine's The Shackled City Adventure Path. I was running this adventure from January up until last weekend, when we finished the last chapter. It was a blast. This hardcover volume collects all the Shackled City adventures from Dungeon Magazine. There are 12 adventures that take PCs from first level all the way up to 20th level, and there is actually a cohesive plot that runs through the entire campaign. I've tried other super adventure books like AEG's World's Largest Dungeon, and I have to say, this is a far superior product. There is easily a year or more of adventuring in these pages, and it's all good material that doesn't get boring. The campaign mainly takes place in the city of Cauldron. Over the course of the book's 12 adventures, the heroes will come to know the city intimately and rub shoulders with its many colorful inhabitants. The rich setting is probably the best part of the book. There are tons of cool adventures just waiting to happen in Cauldron. There were some problems with the book. For the first six or so chapters of the campaign, most of the plot is happening behind the scenes. It makes for a great story for the DM, but when the PCs finally start encountering the campaign's major villains, there's almost no connection. I also felt the editors could have done more to help the DM follow the plot and tie everything together. I got to one point where the PCs were casting divination spells to try to find out more about the villains, and I didn't know where in the book to look for the information they wanted. I would also recommend this book to any DMs who are just getting started, or DMs who want to run an ongoing campaign but don't have time every week to prepare material. This is from Jeffrey Wynn. That's great. I really enjoyed that review, and it has me thinking a lot about the Shackled City Adventure Path. I'm actually in a game where somebody else is running that for me, and I'm a player. And so that really makes me a little more hopeful that that's going to be a really fun adventure, since it does seem to be a little bit slow right now, but I don't think we've gotten very far into the real storyline. So him explaining that some of that action is happening in the background tells me a lot, and maybe I should just hang on and wait and see where that goes. So thank you again, Jeffrey. If you would like to do something similar and send it in to me to be shared on the show, the email again is thetomeshow@gmail.com. There were a handful of books which earn honorable mention for this show, some books that were real close to making it on my list, but I decided to keep myself down to an even 10. The Draconomicon was great, all about dragons, and part of a series that includes some other monster groups, like aberrations and undead. There's one for those. It's sort of like the ecology section of Dragon Magazine taken out to a whole book, so it's really neat. The Book of Vile Darkness, you get wicked evil without some of the balance concerns that came out of the Book of Exalted Deeds. Complete Adventure is a good sort of introduction to what the Complete series is sort of all about. There's all those other Complete books. I earlier reviewed one of the newest Complete books. And so Adventure gives you sort of a good idea of what that's all about and giving you a lot to work with. On my dishonorable mention list would be Mysteries of the Moonsea, which is the D&D definition of a project half done. You can hear more about that in my review of that. I think that was episode one. So if you go all the way back to that, before I really knew a lot of what I was doing here. Power of Faerun, I didn't really like. Just not something I need for my Forgotten Realms game. It was a lot of information that just doesn't seem to be useful for anything I'm ever going to be really doing. And the Dungeon Master Guide 2. I've heard really good things about Dungeon Master Guide, or the Player's Handbook 2. And of course, I use the normal Dungeon Master's Guide a lot. But there was nothing really that grabbed me as being really useful in the Dungeon Master Guide 2. Just didn't come off as something that I was... There's nothing there that I've been jumping at, and there's nothing there that I've seen other DMs or players really latching onto and using. Just not a lot of great stuff there. Well, anyway, that has been the Tome's first holiday special. We're coming up to a new Dragon Magazine issue and Ravenloft, the long-awaited Ravenloft. I might even get that Ravenloft episode out early to make up for the fact that it keeps getting pushed back and the fact that this episode has been a little bit late. I normally would have gotten this out last Sunday. Anyway, you can find the Tome at http://thetome.podbean.com or email at thetomeshow@gmail.com. This has been episode 6, the holiday wish list of
The Tome.